Dennis Fitzpatrick is on line one. Hi, Dennis.
Good morning.
Now, you're originally from Mount Farren. You're now living in Blackpool. Are you going to reflect on the prison plans itself or on prison incarceration in general?
Well, what I'm reflecting on is how we in the North Side are being dealt with as a community at large, not just the particular prison in the Glen, which I'm very familiar with, even as a young boy playing up there, that used to be the gun firing range for the army. Before it became a prison, I played there and we collected shells, discarded bullet shells from the army rifle range. I go back a long while there. But I've been actively involved in community development in the Blackpool area since the 60s when I was in the youth club in Blackpool. And I'm now involved in the community centre and on wider issues in the area as a community activist.
Okay, so, I'm old enough to remember Blackpool as, I won't say quaint little village, but as a much more quiet, shall we say, place. I remember the flats going up, but I remember Blackpool as a young boy being a very, very nice place to pass through. Then you had the advent of the North Ring coming over the top, that kind of thing. Traffic pressures became intense on Blackpool and the Watercourse Road. And the Glen itself, having had to take this prison expansion 10 years ago, now being asked to do even more for the prison service.
Yeah, well, as I said, I'm glad that you're opening it up wider to the wider context of how we as a community on the North Side, and what I call the neglected North Side, is operating from a political point of view, in that there are political decisions made about the provision of services. I mean, if you look at the North Side, do we have a university? No. Do we have a technical university? No. Do we have a hospital on the North Side? No. Do we have a training centre, for instance, like the Bishopstown Training Centre, which was the biggest in Europe one time? Do we have it in the North Side? No. I mean, the provision of all the economic-generating activities around these areas are all over on other sides of the city, not on the North Side. And what all that has happened in the North Side is it's used as a kind of a dumping ground, in my humble opinion, as, you know, ere we can get rid of all our social derelicts, what they call it, you know, and we can dump them out there. I mean, like, we don't even have, like, if you take from the Christie Ring Bridge all the way out to the grotto in Blackpool, we don't have a blade of grass. And yet, look at the huge amount of concentration of people there. You know, if you look at what they have done to our heritage, like we had three rivers, we can't see one of them. We can't see one of them today because they're all culverted. And now they've also, like, if you look at the industrial heritage that was there in Blackpool, for instance, the
Sunbeam.
You had Sunbeam, you had Denny Sellers, you had the distillery, you had Gouldings, you had Harrington's Paint Factory. The only one that's visible now is Harrington's Paint Factory because that was operational only up to a little while ago. All the rest bulldozed away. We haven't even, you know, we haven't even a sign or a symbol. And now they want to do the very same with this absolutely unique piece of architectural structure that we have left in the North Side, even though it hasn't a very, you know, what you might call promising, what's the word I'm trying to use there?
Aspect?
It captures the imagination, like, because a prison is not a very, you know...
Older prisons, and I'm talking about Cork Jail and even Spike here, have been very successfully transformed into tourist attractions. Let's discuss that for a second, as well as the heritage element. Wasn't Thomas Kent executed on those grounds in that prison? Isn't he buried there?
He was buried there up to recently. I think he was exhumed and transferred, I think, back to his native Fermoy some time ago. But I mean, I remember going up there on Easter Sundays, and there used to always be a little celebration there and commemoration of his death and execution for the 1916 commemorations around Easter. And we used to be able to get up and to get into the prison yard and that sort of thing. So as a young fellow, I do remember that. But like as you're pointing out, if you look at what the provision of services in the whole area of the North Side has been non-existent, and now we have a golden opportunity of this fabulous building that could be utilised. And as you pointed out quite rightly, look what they did down in Spike Island. I mean, look at the destination it is now for the Cork County Council. I cannot understand why the government can't hand this site over to the City Council, who are quite imaginative, I must say, in developing things. Like, look what they did with the old Assumption Convent in Blackpool. I mean, that's a hive and a hub of community activity now. You have the community bikes in there. You have an incredible wraparound service given to homeless young people in the Cork foyer, which does incredible work and prevents homelessness. And yet we're stuck because they can't move on people there because they've nowhere to go with the housing crisis, you know? And I mean, people normally, they get them, they're in there for 2 years, but they have to keep them longer now because they've nowhere to help them to accommodate them elsewhere. And yet, like we have just up the road, and originally, I remember going in with Jim Thompson, who was the senior probation officer here in Cork, along with Dermot O'Connell. And I remember back in the 90s, actually approaching Sister Bridget Fogarty, who was the superior in the convent, and saying, look, will you give us your convent? Because we were seeing the problem of people coming out of jail and were ending up on the streets because they hadn't a place to go to, a home to go to.
Yeah, you established the Cork Auto Crime Division Diversion Project. So you are speaking from some experience here. For those who would say, well, it's their own tough luck. They're in prison. They committed a crime. There's also the counterbalance, of course, that we should be concerned if society fails them, even in prison. In other words, they're human beings, and we have a duty to allow them to maintain some semblance of dignity, and we should have some semblance of respect for those in custody, many of whom are trying to rehabilitate. The system may not be designed or exist in which rehabilitation happens, though.
It doesn't. The system does not. Like, the average stay for an Irish prisoner is 4 months. That's the average stay. And yet, we're still building more and looking to build more and more and more prison spaces. No, the reality is, like, people are going in. It's like a revolving door situation. Like, they're going in and they're being incarcerated for 4 months at the average. That's the average sentence for all prisoners in Ireland.
So if somebody got a sentence of 6 years, and I know I'm going to extremes here, 6, 10, 12 years, a month in prison would be unusual. That would be a minor crime, I imagine, relatively to one that would generate a 10-year. But you're saying the average is 4 months. They have to get them out. Revolving door.
Well, I mean, that's the average sentence that they will serve, 4 months in prison, and that's from the prison service themselves, and that was before an Oireachtas committee. That's what they actually said. The average prisoner serves 4 months. That's the average prison sentence that is served in the Irish prison system, 4 months. So what can you do in 4 months? And like, all it is a holding ground. It's a dumping ground for where we put our undesirable people who have lots of human issues. They have, like, huge traumas, childhood traumas. They have addiction issues. They have abuse issues. There's a whole host of things. And yet, they're not seen as human beings. And
Dennis, our previous caller, Michael, spent 40 or so years in and out of institutions, 30 of them in the Irish prison system. He said exactly the same, and he said about 80%. But he said it is a dumping ground and nothing else for those in addiction or with social adversity issues.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, There was the Cork City Council, in fairness to them, were promoting the idea of a safe injection site here in the city, and they were ready to rock and roll with it. It hasn't happened. Why? Funding. You see, I mean, like, the government will tell us they don't have funding for this, that, or the other. I mean, we as community activists, we're forever screaming and shouting at, like, we cannot get operational funding for a lot of our community activities. And we struggle. Like, if, for instance, out in Blackpool, it costs us about €150 a year to run the service. Do you know how much we get? to do that?
I don't.
14,000 per annum. That's the contribution of the state towards the running costs outside in Blackpool Community Centre. And look at what they do. And yet, why in God's name are we not providing, we don't have enough creches here in the north side to look after and start developing our young people, our children, giving them a potentially equal start to other people in the cities that have creches and have access to private funded creches. We don't. I mean, we're struggling here as a community.
Dennis, I've many, many friends who are in the North Side Till I Die bracket, okay? Would you be in that bracket?
No, I'm not a North Side Till I Die. I'm a Cork man, but I am a Blackpool man, and I acknowledge where I come from, and I just give an analysis of how I see things. And I mean, I know the people over in Bishopstown or Douglas will have a very different view, without a doubt. But, like, my mindset is very clearly human-centred. I mean, if we don't see the other human being, no matter what they have done or how disfigured they may look, if we don't see him as a human being, I think we're the less as a human being ourselves if we don't see them in that way.
Okay, prison structures by their very nature, Dennis, they're drab, imposing, square boxes, really, often with barbed wire around high fences. If that proposal was for Bishopstown or Douglas or one of those areas, what do you think the pushback would be?
Well, I guarantee you that they'd be rejected straight away to devalue property, you know? But, like, that's not the issue up here because, I mean, God love us, we struggle just to survive, to keep our roof over our head, to keep our fires lighting, you know, as we say, keep heat in our homes. And, like, with the cost of living crisis at the moment, what are we battling? The toss-up between whether we provide heating or food. You know, and that's the reality. And there are reports after reports doing that and saying, this is what we're struggling with. And like, so for instance, I mean, for us to look up and to, as a group of people, to look up and say, oh God, yeah, they're putting up a building there. Yeah, I wonder what's that all about. You know, we can't afford to do it. You know, we cannot. And it takes, I suppose, a certain amount of apathy to enable this sort of thing to develop. And that's what has happened in the North Side generally. Because we struggle just with day-to-day survival, you know, we become, and we have so lacking in, like, our own self-power. Not self-power, like, our lack of ability to access power and decision-making locally. And the decisions are made from all outside, as my mother used to say, by educated derelicts. You know,
yeah, there are many affluent residents of the North Side as well. Let's not forget that. But can I ask you this, as a North Sider, how much do you think the North Side is being continually disadvantaged, if I can put it that way, by two things? Number one, its topography and the fact that it's very hilly, up and down hills, and some of the areas are quite elevated. So that causes kind of transport and infrastructure issues. But number two, and on that, the lack of a proper North Ring Road to relieve. You know, what's a piecemeal North Ring Road coming through areas like Tivoli and Mayfield and down into Ballyvillan and Blackpool?
Absolutely. I mean, I totally agree with you that we have, like, the topography is an issue without a doubt. But, like, why can we not use that to our advantage? Because we can create, with a bit of creative thinking, we can create ideas and solutions. And, like, the people locally are the people who know best what solution will work in the area because they live, work and breathe here. It's as simple as that. But, like, what happens?
Would you go back as far as maybe the 40s and 50s and 60s when, let's be fair, a massive, massive concrete concentration of social housing was put on those hills?
Absolutely. But without infrastructure. And, like, what are they doing? And they then reap because there was no social infrastructure that was there at all. I mean, that was the only thing. And in fairness, we did develop the rosary of churches back then. And that was the only type of social infrastructure that was put in there with the vision of Connie Lucy, the Lord be good to him, you know? And we had the likes of Fartanry, Grána Brothar. We even had the Glen, like, when that went up in the 70s. You know, but after that, there was no other, like, there was no infrastructure, like doctor surgery. There's 4 doctor surgery in Blackpool now, but you can't get into them. anybody new coming into the area. And over the last number of years, we have had over 5,000 housing units put into Blackpool, and yet we don't even have a green space. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So I take your point. I do. It's unusual when you look at world cities, the layout of Cork really in that the concentration of social housing 50 years ago that was injected onto the north side isn't the norm for other cities. To do something like that, I'm only aware of Rio de Janeiro, and I'm not by any stretch of the imagination calling the north side a favela. But other cities in the world, for instance, Budapest. If you go to the hills of Buda. They are the most expensive and elegant, looking down on the flat houses you'll ever come across. You go to the flatlands then of Pest. It's kind of reversed in Cork, isn't it? And I'm just wondering, is that topography?
I don't know. It's the simple answer. But like, if you look at Montinati, I mean, that wasn't the case historically. I mean, when they were trying to move out of the flat of the city, the merchant princes, where did they move up to?
Yeah, Lover's Walk in Montinati, yeah.
Yes, you know, I mean, so...
That's Sunday's Well?
Something happened. What happened?
Strawberry Hill, very, very, very affluent address.
Absolutely, you know, so, I mean, initially, like, if you look back in history, you can see that, yes, the merchant princes were beginning to move out of the, you know, the rat-infested and disease-infected areas of the marsh. But like, and they went up to the leafy suburbs of the hillside, which gave them panoramic views of the harbour and all sorts of things. But things changed.
Well, I remember the CUH being a green field. We used to go fishing in Roscarbery as kids and driving out. That was a country road. I mean, the south side was predominantly and majorly underdeveloped in those days as well. But of course, it had the space to develop with infrastructure.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. But you see, like, and this is the thing that you're talking about. How are decisions made? I mean, we talk about participatory democracy. It's very little because, like, I mean, there's a social infrastructure that's there. Like, for instance, we have the Chambers of Commerce, we have the Cork Business Association, and these are already established and they have powerful influences in decision-making processes.
Dennis, we've covered a scattergun of topics. Let's finish on the one we started on. As someone with experience, as someone on the ground there, what would you do with the site that is now proposed to build prison capacity for 300 more inmates?
Oh my God, I'd turn it into a community hub where I would actually develop the likes of simple thing, community activities. I'd develop a history hub is the first thing, because like we have no idea of the industrial heritage that has been lost. I mean, that's number one, I would say that. And we could look at a cultural museum there, and all under the auspices of our good city library, our city museum. Like, why not? Because we're stuck up in Fitzgerald's Park. That's the only place, and they're confined with their building there. And why not develop a whole host of other activities? Like, for instance, drag hunting, pigeon racing and rearing, all of these cultural activities that happened and are dying now somewhat, they could be in some way memorialised in a place like this. But as well as that...
And make it a tourist attraction. I'm going to leave it there, but I suppose if there's one thing, if you could ease traffic congestion on the north side, it would go a long way towards further development, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. You see, we're in the north side, we're a rat run. We're not a place of destination. That's the problem. I mean, 47% of the people in Blackpool don't even own a car. Yes, the volume of traffic going through our streets is enormous.
Yeah, there's an imbalance there. All right, Dennis Fitzpatrick, originally from Mount Farah, now living in Blackpool, and the founder of the Cork Auto Crime Diversion Project. Thank you very much for coming on the programme this morning.
Thank you very much indeed.